Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's your host, Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. TGIF, it's Friday, and I've got a lot of good information to share with you in the next hour, so I hope you'll stay with me. I want to start with a story about omega-3 DHA, and we'll be talking about DHA a couple of different times in the program today. I just returned from a big conference in Stockholm, Sweden, ISFAL, the International Society for the Study of Fatty Acids and Lipids. They meet every 2 years someplace nice, and this time we were in Stockholm. And it was beautiful, and that date, end of June, beginning of July, is really the right time to be there because you're so far north there that the sun hardly goes down. I was taking pictures out a window at a restaurant that I was at. We were basically spending the evening holed up at this table, a big bunch of us, and at 9:30 it looked like daylight outside, and I started taking a picture every hour and putting it on my Facebook page, and at 12:30 there was still sun on the horizon. And when I flew away, had a very early morning flight leaving Stockholm, and so it meant that I needed to get up at 3:30 to catch my taxi to get to the airport by 5. And at about 3:45 in the morning, it was daylight outside, so that was kind of fun. And Stockholm itself is beautiful, a collection of hundreds of islands. Everything is waterfront. It was really very pretty. But there was a lot of great research that was shared. I'll be sharing it with you over the next year or so, but one of the interesting things that was one of the topics of conversation was that these omega-3s that we think of as anti-inflammatory and supporting heart health also have some other benefits that we don't talk about that much. And one of the benefits is normalizing the gut bacteria, which I thought was very interesting. Gut bacteria, we hear about it all the time. When we think about yogurt, all of those commercials now about yogurt balancing the digestive tract, wink, wink, and what they're really talking about are that those bacteria in yogurt act on the intestines to normalize the balance of good guy bacteria and bad guy bacteria. Well, it turns out omega-3 plays a role with that, and that having better levels of omega-3 fatty acids in the body actually supports the balance in favor of the beneficial or probiotics that are in the large and small intestine. So that was kind of interesting, something we don't always relate to a benefit of omega-3s. But this story that I want to share comes to us from Harvard, and it showed that supplementation with DHA, omega-3, improves periodontal outcomes in people who have periodontal disease, periodontitis. It's a serious gum infection. It destroys the soft tissue and the bones that support our teeth. I was a little surprised to find out that periodontitis is the second most common disease worldwide. I didn't know that. They said that 30 to 50% of the U.S. population suffers from it. So this study was published in the Journal of Dental Research, showed that DHA supplementation was associated with a decreased average depth of the pockets between the teeth and the gums, and the gingival index, which is used to assess the extent of gum disease. And inflammatory biomarkers in the gum tissue were significantly reduced with people who were supplementing with the omega-3 DHA. Now, this isn't the first study to link omega-3s with dental health benefits. There seems to be a relationship between the anti-inflammatory effects of the omega-3s, and in this study, DHA, But they found that the average number of dental disease events was 1.5 times higher in people who had low DHA levels compared to people who had the highest average levels of DHA. And that there is also a potential antibacterial activity of omega-3 against oral pathogens, pathogens in the mouth. So it looks like the EPA and the DHA inhibit the growth of the harmful bacteria, strep, candida albicans, and one called Porphyromonas gingivalis. And even at relatively low doses, the EPA and DHA actually inhibit these harmful pathogens that are associated with gum disease. Now, in this Harvard study, adults that had periodontal disease actually were given a relatively high dose of DHA, 2,000 milligrams per day of DHA, or their counterparts were given a soybean or corn oil placebo. They got a 90-day treatment period, and also everyone was on 81 milligrams per day of aspirin. Now, that's interesting because we also have learned at the ISFAL conference, at the GOED conference, and at those conferences over about the last 6 to 8 years, that aspirin, a little bit of aspirin, actually activates EPA and DHA in the body so that they produce higher levels of metabolites that are profoundly more anti-inflammatory than the EPA and DHA themselves. In other words, the body turns the omega-3 into an even stronger version of itself, or a product made from itself with the influence of a small amount of aspirin. Aspirin activates EPA and DHA. So an aspirin every few days, or even a small dose aspirin on a daily basis, actually will get you more bang for the buck from your omega-3s. But in this case, these people who were in the DHA group had improvements in pocket depth, improvements in their gingival index, and they also measured inflammatory biomarkers, C-reactive protein and interleukin-1 beta, and there were significant decreases in the DHA group. So this was aspirin-triggered DHA supplementation, and that's something that I'm going to remind you about, is that relationship between the omega-3s and the aspirin going forward. Now, how would you get 2,000 milligrams of DHA? Super DHA is a supplement that you can get in a health food store, or EcoSmart DHA. Both of those are Carlson products. Carlson is my sponsor. And both of them provide 500 milligrams of DHA in one soft gel. You would take four of those. You could take two at breakfast and two at night. So if you have gum disease, it's looking like that would be a very good practice. And then that 81 milligram aspirin probably would make sense too. Now, another study that found a big benefit for a sort of everyday dietary supplement was published, and this was this came to us from Newcastle University in England. And what they found was that oral doses of vitamin C at or greater than 500 milligrams per day boosts the health of the endothelium. The endothelium is a thin layer of cells that lines our blood vessels, and it is highly reactive, and when the when everything is good, the endothelium maintains the suppleness of blood vessels, and it regulates the activity of the white blood cells, the neutrophils that are present there, and they form a key part of the immune system. And when the endothelium is healthy, you've got nice, supple, flexible blood vessels, and the white blood cells don't try to penetrate. But when you have chronic inflammation or dysfunction in the endothelium, the arteries are not so supple. You get something called arterial stiffness, and that raises the risk of high blood pressure. But also, chronic inflammation leads to a production of something called adhesion molecules that are very, very sticky components on the lining of the blood vessel. And if you also have oxidized LDL, those white blood cells that are normalized by vitamin C actually start to gobble up oxidized cholesterol, and they penetrate that inflamed lining of the blood vessel, and that is atherosclerosis. That is blood vessel disease. Well, so what they found was that 500 milligrams a day or better of supplemental vitamin C normalizes, really supports a healthier endothelium and boosts overall heart health. Now, this was an analysis of 44 different clinical trials. So it was a systematic review and meta-analysis that evaluated the effect of supplemental vitamin C. And so looking for reasons why the vitamin C would be beneficial, because it was most beneficial. The benefits really were visible in people who had atherosclerosis or diabetes or heart failure. And looking for reasons why, they noted that oxidative damage and vascular inflammation, so free radical damage and vascular inflammation, affect endothelial health, the lining of the blood vessel. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator. That's a major player in preserving endothelial function. And what they found was that vitamin C has a direct influence on quieting down, dampening the free radicals, the reactive oxygen species that are in the bloodstream and in the blood vessel. And nitric oxide bioavailability is increased in the presence of higher amounts of vitamin C. So you can get vitamin C in your multivitamin. Hopefully you're taking one. You can get a multiple antioxidant formula that contains vitamin C. ACEs, look for ACEs. That's beta carotene, vitamin C, vitamin E, which is going to come up a little deeper in the program today. And selenium, and the thing that we discovered all the way back in the 70s, actually, is that vitamin E, vitamin C, selenium, carotenoids work better together than they do individually. So you want the team working in your blood vessels on your behalf. I just thought that was interesting. Vitamin C in blood vessels, that could be a lifesaver. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Stay with me.
Concerned about diabetes? Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes is a unique formula containing nutrients that support the health of individuals with diabetes or pre-diabetes. Two easy-to-swallow soft gels supply over 25 nutrients, including important omega-3s from fish oil. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes supports a healthy heart, brain, and nerves, healthy vision, and healthy circulation. Ask for Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes at finer health food stores today. Or go to carlsonlabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes. Ask for it today. Why is vitamin D so important? Because it supports and promotes calcium absorption, healthy bones, healthy mood, cardiovascular health, and a healthy immune system. Are you getting enough vitamin D? It's important to us. Carlson features many products with vitamin D, including vitamin D soft gelatin capsules, liquid drops, and vitamin D in combination with fish oils. Carlson provides natural vitamin D3 to support healthy body levels of vitamin D. Ask for Carlson Vitamin D at finer health food stores today. Or go to carlsonlabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson is an easy way to get your vitamin D.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root. I'm a nutritionist and a nurse. You can follow my blog, Red Wine, Green Tea, and Dark Chocolate, some of my favorite things, at jolieblogs.com, JOLIEBLOGS. I'm also on Twitter. I am at Jolie Root, JOLIEROOT on Twitter. And Facebook, Food for Thought, has a page. Just if you, or, you know, next time you're playing around on Facebook, up in the search column, Food for Thought Radio, you'll find the radio program's Facebook page. And periodically throughout the week, I pop some good stories on there. And one of them was this one this week, which is that a new study, and they did an analysis looking at 343 peer-reviewed publications. They were looking at meaningful differences in nutrient contact, and particularly content, particularly the more protective nutrients, the antioxidants, in conventional versus organic food. And it turned out that organic food was better. So the short of it is organic food is seemingly more nutritious, contains more protective antioxidants, four times less pesticides, and lower amounts of unhealthy metals like cadmium. So, not everything that's labeled organic is healthy, particularly, because there are organic candies. Well, you know, how healthy is that, really? And not everything that's labeled organic is local. Some of the frozen foods that are organic actually come from China. But buying organic produce, especially the Dirty Dozen, the list of vegetables that the Environmental Protection Agency warns us have the highest contamination with pesticides, it's worth a little bit of extra expenditure. It's worth a little extra space in the food budget. Don't be skimpy with your food. So what happened was they did take a look at 343 peer-reviewed publications, and they found meaningful differences in antioxidant content between the organic and the non-organic crops. The kinds of antioxidants that we're talking about here, phenolic acids, flavonones, stilbenes, flavones, flavanols, and anthocyanins. Pesticide four times higher in conventional crops. And I've seen some, just this week, in some of the food blogs, like Food Inc. and some of those blogs, I've actually seen some photographs of warning signs on crops saying school children should not come here because of pesticide exposure. Well, let's remember that those end up in the grocery store. So, the non-organic foods were also significantly higher in concentrations of cadmium, which cadmium is a carcinogen. So we routinely and very thoroughly test fish oils, for example, for heavy metal. When I say we, I mean the really responsible members of the fish oil global marketplace do testing for lead, mercury, cadmium, and other contaminants. In fact, if you'd like to look at the way the Carlson fish oils stand up as far as the testing is concerned, you can go to the International Fish Oil Standards website, IFOS Omega-3. IF as in fish, OS, Omega-3. IFOS, and they actually print the results of the analysis. All the Carlson products go through there. The highest score you can get is 5 stars, and Carlson, they're all 5 stars, and cadmium, lead, mercury are things that they are looking at. You must be sure that your fish oil supplement is being tested and is free of those kinds of harmful levels of contaminants. But organic food, the labeling can be a little confusing. The Department of Agriculture, they're responsible for enforcing the rules and guidelines instituted by the law that was passed in 1990, the Organic Foods Production Act, that established specific minimum standards for foods that are sold as organic. And there's a round green and white USDA certified seal. So in order for your food to have that, the importers or the farmers have to submit to very rigorous standards. They can't use synthetic substances in the production of crops unless those have been approved and are on the list of acceptable substances. They can't plant organic crops on land that has been treated with substances that were banned, and the land can't have been treated within 3 years prior to converting to organic production practices. Livestock have to be fed exclusively organic grains. There can't be any genetic engineering. There can't be any irradiation. But producing food with those practices costs more. So you typically will find that organic food can be anywhere from 10 to 30% more expensive than the conventionally mass-produced food. So a lot of consumers say, I can't afford it. But the thing to know is that big mass marketers are getting into the organic business. Walmart, for example, is going to be introducing wide swaths of organic products. They already have quite a few. And you're neighborhood grocery store other than Walmart. If you shop in a store that's a Kroger chain, or you shop where I am in Florida, we have a big chain of supermarkets called Publix, and they carry a lot of organic, USDA certified organic products in the store and are very competitive with pricing. So when I was living in Colorado mostly full time, the Kroger stores there had organic products that were very competitive with conventional. So you can many times find affordable organic. So there are basic organic standards the Department of Agriculture has established. There's 100% organic. There's USDA organic, which is 95%. And then there's a category called made with organic ingredients. And products in that category have to have 70% organic ingredients or more, but they can't carry the official organic seal. But they can say made with organic ingredients. And a lot of times those products are made by companies that are transitioning over to organic and are in that kind of transition period that happens, you know, maybe not quite 3 years, but maybe they've been at it for a year and a half or 2 years. The key to all of this is minimizing our exposure to toxic substances like the cadmium, like pesticides, and having an abundance of balanced nutrients. That's really what we are trying to accomplish. I like locally produced foods, and I might, depending upon the area that I live in, favor local over a foreign produced organic certification food, because how do we know, for example, if it's an organic product from China, how do we know that that the oversight is what it should be? Also, organic isn't necessarily better for you if we're talking about something like a cookie. It can be organic, but it's far from a health food. So when you're shopping, here's the dirty dozen, because I like to put things in practical terms. These are the things that have the highest pesticide content. Peaches, apples, sweet bell peppers, celery, nectarines, strawberries, cherries, pears, grapes, spinach, lettuce. Peaches, apples, bell peppers, celery, nectarines, strawberries, cherries, pears, grapes, spinach, and lettuce. If you can't remember that list, a little later today I'll put it up on my blog. But also you can go and say Dirty Dozen EPA and it'll pop up. That list will come up on, you know, the first probably 50 hits on Google. There's also a Clean 15. I'm not going to go through it, but if you get the idea of the Dirty Dozen, if you buy those organically, pretty much you could buy your other produce items conventionally and not worry as much about it when pesticides are what the concern is. Now, I think nutrition status should be what the concern is. So, by the way, potatoes are on the Dirty Dozen list too. So other fruits are going to be lower in pesticides. Other veggies are going to be lower in pesticides than that dirty dozen. So if you like to go to bulk retail stores and the thing isn't on the dirty dozen list, you know, you can feel free to get some very inexpensive options, or maybe you're lucky and there's a farmer's market somewhere near you. So just be aware, though, that in some cases, organic is worth the extra money. Now, what are the top 10 healthy foods? Well, this was interesting because these were according to surveys and sources across North America and Western Europe. Apples, almonds, broccoli, blueberries, oily fish, leafy green vegetables, sweet potatoes, wheat germ, avocados, and number 10 was oatmeal. Now, I posted that on my Facebook page earlier in the week, and a friend of mine popped on there and said, oatmeal, I would argue with that because that can cause some big glycemic reactions. Yeah, sometimes when people eat oats, they have either a big drop in blood sugar level, or some people, conversely, and this, of course, would depend on what you sweeten the oatmeal with, might have a big jump in a blood sugar level. But I think the top nine are probably inarguable. And I thought I'd go through the benefits of some of them, starting with apples. They're a phenomenal source of antioxidants. They're a very antioxidant-rich food. The polyphenols are the main antioxidant that are found in apples, and we've seen evidence that you live longer if you eat apples. Florida State University said apples were a miracle fruit. They found that older women who started eating apples daily had a 23% drop in levels of LDL cholesterol and a 4% increase in HDL cholesterol after just 6 months. Guess what else happens if you eat 3 apples daily? This was in the Women's Health Initiative study. They actually lost 30 pounds over the course of a year. Didn't have to be apples either. It could have been pears, but 3 of either one of those white-fleshed fruits led to a 30-pound weight drop over 12 months. You know, combine that with a 23% drop in LDL cholesterol, most people don't get that response from statins unless they're taking a higher dose statin. So an apple a day. Another little headline about apples was apples and pears reduce stroke risk by 52%. That's pretty meaningful, right? So apples are definitely healthy. Second on the list was almonds. They're full of vitamin E, magnesium, iron, calcium, fiber, vitamin B2, which is riboflavin, which means better vision, better tear production. And almonds as a food help to maintain healthy cholesterol levels. Part of that is because they have more fiber than any other nut. So we'll go through some of these other healthy foods when we come back from the break. In the meantime, though, you are listening to Food for Thought. I'm your host, Jolie Root, and we'll be right back.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right. Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. No doubt you've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today.
Welcome back. This is Food for Thought. We're talking about the top 10 healthy foods for a moment, and broccoli was on the list. A 3-ounce serving of broccoli gives you a good amount of vitamin C. You know, vitamin C, I talked about healthy blood vessels, but college kids that took 1,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C had dramatically shorter duration of their colds, their respiratory infections, and severity of symptoms, too. But the other thing that's in broccoli is sulforaphane and diindolmethane, and those two compounds have anti-cancer benefits. But cooking broccoli for too long destroys a lot of the nutrients, so you don't want to boil it. And you don't want to cook it for a long time. I like to do a little saute with garlic and have it still a little on the crunchy side. It softens up a little bit, but it's still bright, bright green. And that by itself, great side dish. That over pasta, great main dish. Broccoli, it's a great one. Blueberries were on the list. Fiber, antioxidants, phytonutrients. Blueberries stop your brain from shrinking, you know. Actually, a cup a day at Tufts University was the food that was most productive at stopping the loss of brain mass in aging, in this case, animals. But extrapolate that to humans, and they also make your vision sharper. The blue in the blueberry is a nutrient that really supports night vision. At Harvard, they found that older people that ate blueberries and strawberries were less likely to suffer from cognitive decline compared to people their age who didn't. Texas Women's University found that blueberries help to curb obesity. There are polyphenols in blueberries that reduce the development of fat cells, and they reduce the risk of high blood pressure by 10% because of other compounds called anthocyanins. Oily fish were on the list. I hardly have to spend any time on this. I talk about it all the time. The omega-3s, the salmon, trout, mackerel, herring, sardines, anchovies. Yes, have a Caesar salad. Eat the anchovies. Put them on your pizza. They are so good for you. You know, you can cook anchovies down in a little bit of olive oil. And just if you don't make the oil too hot. You never want olive oil to smoke. But if you just warm it and put the anchovies in there and just let that cook, they break down completely. Everything sort of oozes into the oil, and then you have this salty, delicious flavor base for anything that you'd like to go forward with, and you don't get that mouthful of bony little anchovy. They're loaded with omega-3s, the point, and the oily fish are very healthy. They're also full of vitamin A and vitamin D. And there was a study at UCLA's Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center that found that prostate cancer progression was significantly slowed when patients went on a lower-fat diet but used fish oil supplements. Also on the list, leafy green vegetables. Well, I've talked many times about how I feel about collard greens and kale and other leafy greens. They're loaded with antioxidants. Spinach, uncooked or steamed, loaded with vitamin A, B6, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin K, which is great for your bones, and great to keep calcification out of your blood vessels. Selenium, niacin, zinc. I could go on. It goes on and on. Just loaded with nutrition. Sweet potatoes made the list. Much lower on the glycemic index than white potatoes. The Center for Science in the Public Interest compared the nutritional value of sweet potatoes to other vegetables and ranked it number one when they looked at vitamin A, vitamin C, iron, calcium, protein, and it's a complex carbohydrate. Wheat germ made the list, loaded with the B vitamins and vitamin E and folic acid and zinc and magnesium and phosphorus. And it's a good source of fiber. Avocados made the list, monounsaturated fats. You don't avoid avocados because of the high fat content, because the monounsaturated fat actually helps you lose weight. Weight for weight, avocados are a third higher in potassium than bananas are. They're loaded with vitamin E. They're loaded with the B vitamins. They're also very high in fiber, and when you eat them regularly, it lowers your cholesterol levels. They're making extracts and studying avocado for treating diabetes and hypertension, and they help to stop the cells that drive mouth cancers, oral cancers. Eating avocado is linked to a reduced risk of that. I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about Alzheimer's risk, because there has been a big conference going on looking at Alzheimer's incidence and what kinds of things impact it. And there were some things that came out that I thought were interesting that we don't talk about all of the time, but there are factors that raise and lower our risk of Alzheimer's. It's very important because we are looking at increasing numbers of people because of the aging of our population. You'd be surprised, but if you're 90 years old or older, having high blood pressure is actually protective. That's interesting, because usually heart risk factors are considered Alzheimer's risk factors. But once we get a lot older, once you hit 90, and if you have, God bless you, you're a lucky person, and hope you continue to live in this golden age of yours. Blood pressure is not such a threat then, and it actually is protective. So that's kind of interesting. Another thing was cognitively stimulating activities. Get out the deck of cards. We're talking about games. Greater brain volume, higher cognitive test scores, and it's not just games, but reading books, going to museums, card games, checkers, crosswords, or other puzzles. When you do those kinds of things, it influences the volume of the brain, and also tests like memory and executive function and problem solving. Engagement in cognitively stimulating activities like games, puzzles, cards. It preserves brain structure. Actually, we know that learning and even interacting makes our brains continue to grow, and we form new synaptic junctions and new neuronal pathways and new networks of brain branching. The brain cells look like the branches of little trees, and it's the whole concept is called plasticity. And what it means is that our brains are growing throughout every age of life. So very important for us to engage in cognitively stimulating activities like games. Also, moderate exercise in middle age is associated with a decreased risk of dementia. Not extreme exercise and not very, very light exercise, but moderate exercise being a couch potato. And midlife, in their definition, and of course I love this definition because I'm in here, 50 to 65. They think late life is 70 and above. I'm hoping by the time I get to 70, we'll redefine it and say 80 and above, and we'll still think that 70 is middle-aged. But right now, I guess I'm in midlife. And what they found was that moderate exercise, this should come as no surprise, but looking at frequency and intensity. Light exercise didn't seem to hold much benefit, and neither did really vigorous exercise. This is not an excuse to do none. I'm just saying moderate is better than none, and you don't have to bust your butt completely when you're exercising. Another thing that was linked with higher dementia risk was poor sleep. And having stress and poor sleep doubled the risk of dementia. So those are just some interesting things that have to do with how we can continue to have a healthy mind. I think there are dimensions in producing health when it comes to brain health. Diet, our physical health, but our social well-being and also our mental engagement. Those are all things that we have to consider. When we look at diet, switch out the seed and grain oils and vegetable oils and trans fats for the healthiest fats, olive oil and the fats that are found in fatty fish. But you can have some saturated fat because guess what? Butter and eggs are very rich in vitamin E. Now, when it comes to the omega-3s, 500 to 1,000 milligrams of DHA per day is going to be optimal. You'll see articles that say 200 milligrams a day, but really, do you want to be at the top of your game, or do you just want to be a little better than average? 200 milligrams is a little better than average. 500 to 1,000 milligrams, that's now we're talking top of the game when it comes to DHA. And you're never going to hear a story about DHA having had a negative consequence when we're talking about the health of your mind. We're talking about the healthy aging of the brain. And aging of the brain is not just a conversation for older people like myself. Your brain is aging from the moment you're born. So healthy aging of the brain applies beginning as a baby and throughout life. Vitamin E supports brain health. It's found in milk and butter and eggs and vegetable oils. I'm not a big advocate of vegetable oils, but there is vitamin E in olive oil, the one plant oil that I really, really like to use on a regular basis. I'm a fan of coconut oil too, but people are always a little afraid of coconut oil because of the saturated fat. I hope you've been paying attention to the news on saturated fat lately, because the reality is we have not been able to, and in any determined way, link saturated fat to cardiovascular harm. And switching out saturated fats for the vegetable oils, corn oil, soybean oil, and the margarines didn't take us in the right direction. It made heart disease worse. So I hope you've been listening to all of that. Another nutrient that to pay attention to for brain health is lutein. Lutein is an antioxidant that is abundant in those leafy green vegetables that I love so much. Another reason to eat those. It's time for another break. We are talking about brain health. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. This is Food for Thought. Stay with me.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today. It's hard to assure your kids are getting enough nutrients, especially those tricky omega-3s. Kids, in particular, need omega-3 oils in Carlson for Kids Cod Liver Oil because they are crucial for brain and vision development, as well as cardiovascular health. Higher levels of omega-3 fats from fish support better learning. Carlson for Kids Cod Liver Oil supplies 590 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids in each serving. It has a delicious lemon flavor that kids love. It tastes great on its own or mixed in your child's favorite food or beverage. You can give your children Carlson for Kids Cod Liver Oil with confidence because all Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Look for the purity guarantee right on the label. Be sure your children are getting the omega-3s they need with Carlson for Kids Cod Liver Oil. Look for it at your favorite natural food store today.
We're back, and you're listening to Food for Thought. Again, the blog is Red Wine, Green Tea, and Dark Chocolate, JolieBlogs.com, and Twitter, at Jolie Root. If you're a Twitter person, I tweet health stories in the mornings, usually a few each morning, so you can catch a little bit of updated health information there, too. Before we leave this beautiful mind conversation, the leafy green vegetables I was talking about, lutein. You know, lutein is available as a supplement, and you can get a lutein with kale supplement at the health food store. Kale providing a lot of other benefits. Zeaxanthin is another antioxidant that comes along with lutein with kale. And in general, we want to look for a broader array of these vegetable-sourced nutrients. So that gets back to the fundamental recommendation of aiming for 9 servings a day. And a serving is about the size of your fist. Make a fist. And the darker the color, the better. Red grapes, cranberries, blueberries, tomatoes, the dark leafy green, the purples that you can find in the market right now. The polyphenols and other nutrients are really concentrated in the more strongly pigmented foods. That said, let's not forget about those apples and pears because they really do promote health. In more health and medicine news, high-fat comfort foods after being stressed out, not such a good idea. They can lead to weight gain in women, an average of 11 pounds per year. Oh, my gosh. What they did was questioned study participants, about the previous day's stressors before giving them a meal that was 930 calories and 60 grams of fat. And then they measured the metabolic rate over several hours after that meal, looking at how long it took the women to burn the calories and fat. They also measured blood sugar, triglycerides, insulin, and the stress hormone cortisol. The women who reported one or more stressors in the 24-hour period prior to that meal burned 104 fewer calories compared to non-stressed women in the 7 hours after eating the high-fat meal. That would be 11 pounds in a year if you were 104 calories less efficient, metabolically speaking. The stressed women also had higher levels of insulin, which contributes to the storage of fat, less fat oxidation, which is the conversion of large fat molecules into smaller molecules that can be used as fuel. The oxidation of fat means you're burning it as fuel. Fat that isn't burned is stored. So the upshot of all of this is stressors lead to weight gain, and high fat is dead wrong as a comfort food. Looks like when we eat the wrong foods, weight gain becomes more likely because we're burning fewer calories because we are stressed. So, this was in the journal Biological Psychiatry. The women, how old were they? They were average age 53. So, something to think about. That big old bowl of ice cream is probably not the right thing if you're doing it because of stress. Now, I started by talking about DHA improving the health of our gums. So there are a lot of nutrients that really support the health in the mouth. And we know that healthy gums is linked to a healthy heart, and unhealthy gums is linked to higher evidence of heart disease, higher risk of heart attack. So what other nutrients? Vitamin C is very important. Calcium and vitamin D to get that good bone matrix that helps to hold on to the teeth. Those are the first things that really jump to mind, but there are other things. Iron deficiency provides a degradation of the membranes on the tongue that help to produce saliva, that help to keep the bacteria under control. Niacin, riboflavin, that's vitamin B2, and vitamin B12. If you have low levels of those three B-complex vitamins, you get sores in your mouth. If you get a lot of those kinds of canker sores, you may need a B vitamin supplement. That might be a thing that can turn that back around. Vitamin C itself, the vitamin C deficiency disease is scurvy, and the sign for that is bleeding gums and loose teeth. Magnesium is also important. Nutritional magnesium supplementation improves periodontal health. You need at least 400 milligrams a day of magnesium. I take mine in the evening because magnesium is an awesome muscle relaxer, and I get a better night's sleep. We both take magnesium at bedtime here in my household and sleep very, very well. When a lot of people our age talk about insomnia, that's not going on in my house, and I really do think it is the magnesium. Other nutraceuticals that are important for dental health, probiotics, beneficial bacteria, they really support the health of the mouth and gums. Omega-3s are anti-inflammatory. DHA, I mentioned that before, that dental disease events were 1.5 times higher in people that had low DHA levels, and that balancing of healthy to unhealthy pathogens that omega-3s, we now understand, control. I learned more about that at the conference in Stockholm. Resveratrol, that good thing that's in red wine, blocks the inflammatory process. It acts on a pro-inflammatory compound called nuclear factor kappa B. Grapeseed extract, antimicrobial, reducing levels of bad breath and bacteria in the mouth. Grapeseed extract is an antioxidant supplement that you can pick up at the natural food store. And green tea. Green tea and the polyphenols that green tea contains have antibacterial effects. Drinking 1 cup of green tea daily improves dental health and reduces the risk of losing teeth by about 20%. That's pretty cool, really. Green tea. I love tea. I am a tea drinker. Black and green tea, the catechins in green tea, inhibit the action of oral bacteria that are linked to the development of periodontal disease. So I think a cup of green tea is relaxing. There's an amino acid in green tea called theanine that actually relaxes you, has a calming influence on you. And promoting dental health. That's a big benefit. Now, niacin was in the news this week, and I want to say something about that because the news reports were basically saying niacin can be dangerous, and I want to clear that up a little bit. The studies that were being reported on were talking about drug forms of niacin. One was an extended-release niacin that is prescribed at 2,000 milligrams a day of extended-release niacin together with cholesterol-lowering medications for expanding the benefit of those medications. And the other drug was one that has niacin extended release combined with an anti-flushing drug, and then that drug is taken together with statins. And what they found was a lot of side effects, higher risk of bleeding. They had people that had real problems with blood sugar stability. They even had in the second study with that synthetic niacin product, they had an increased risk of dying. There were two more deaths per 100 participants in the group that took the synthetic niacin drug combination. Now, I want to stress that that drug, the drug that was being used, is called Tradaptive. That's not the same as health food store niacin or the niacin that's in your multivitamin. And there is no evidence of harm in taking niacin in your multivitamin. The niacin that would come in a B complex, you're talking about doses that are, in some cases, 1,000 times higher in these cardiovascular niacin combinations. But I also want to say that just using niacin in a sustained release form is something that's been going on now for more than 30 years. And yes, there can be a side effect. Some people have liver irritation, and so doctors measure liver enzymes. But niacin itself is pretty effective for lowering cholesterol. The National Cholesterol Education Program called niacin the most potent therapy for favorably altering all lipoprotein abnormalities in the dyslipidemic profile by increasing HDL, by lowering LDL, and lowering triglycerides. So you can't throw out a 50-year history of use of niacin because trials on niacin combinations with other drugs turned out to be unfavorable. Some people can use niacin effectively, a lot of people do, and some people can't because their liver enzymes elevate, or they get muscle soreness, or they can't stabilize blood sugar, and so those people shouldn't. But you can't say that niacin is all bad, and I'll close with that today. I thank you for listening. I'll be back with you again next Friday with another edition of Food for Thought. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Food for Thought with Jolie Root, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Tune in again next time as Jolie Root sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought, Fridays at 10 a.m. on 1160 WVNJ.